Blog Talk Radio.
When he came, little baby came to earth.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Hallelujah and good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, December 5th, 2021. Now, I'm the woman of God of this assembly. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook. But as always, I'm joined by some very beautiful and anointed servant leaders of God here in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. Hallelujah. And so on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. And we pray that you will hear something on today that will uplift your spirit and truly bless your soul. So at this time, we will now go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown.
Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the praise and the glory for another beautiful day you have made for us to be able to honor and worship you and learn more about you, Heavenly Father. We want to thank you for those who are on the call today listening to your message that you want us to hear and to deliver the message to those who may not know you, Heavenly Father, and come to want to call you their Savior, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful for this day you have given us. And all that are listening, may you open our hearts and our minds so that we may receive the message that you are going to give us today. We thank you for the messenger and the message that they will be reaching out to us today with. We give you all the thanks and the glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That was the little drummer boy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the beautiful woman of God, the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come. And she blesses us with a phenomenal reading from a powerful devotional written by none other than Pastor Joseph Prince. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you in every country, nation in the world. I love you. The meditational reading is entitled, Don't Look Inside the Ark. And we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, which reads, And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In the movie, most of you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, the people who tried to look inside the ark were struck dead. What was inside the ark that brought judgment to those who looked into it? The Bible tells us that the ark held the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, the pot of manna, and Aaron's rod. Read more about that, Hebrews 9 and 4. These items were tokens of man's rebellion. The two tablets of the Ten Commandments represented man's rejection of God's standards. The manna representing man's rejection of God's provision. And Aaron's rod, man's rejection of God's appointed priesthood. God did not want to look at these tokens of rebellion. He wanted to be merciful to his people. So he instructed them to place the items in the ark and to cover the ark with its mercy seat, which is also the place where the blood of the animal sacrifices were sprinkled. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle on the mercy seat the blood of the animal that had been sacrificed. The two cherubs on the mercy seat stood as guardians of God's righteousness and holiness. Representing God's eyes, too, they looked at the blood on the mercy seat. As long as the blood was there, the entire nation of Israel was forgiven. God's judgment passed over them, and they were blessed for another year. Read about that in Leviticus 16. Today, the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat is not the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious eternal blood of the Son of God, Hebrews 9 and 12. Jesus is our mercy seat, propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The word propitiation is the original Greek text, is the same word as mercy seat, Romans 3:25 and Hebrews 9 and 5. Beloved, God does not see your sins and count them against you because he sees his son's blood. He sees his son's perfect work that has more than satisfied him. God does not want you to see your sins either. He does not want you to look inside the ark by focusing on your sins. He wants you to focus on Christ and his finished work. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, don't focus on your sins. Focus on Christ and his finished work. Amen.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity nigh, prayer in God Most High. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, west we're leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect. Mine, its bitter perfume, breeze of a life of gathering gloom, sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, west we're leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him rise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia.
Time here at the Spirit Alive Prayer, Praise and Worship Experience, and this is a time when we just simply come together, hallelujah, as a family of God, on one accord, and we go to the Lord with our prayers, our supplications, our petitions, hallelujah. And before we go into prayer with our prayer warrior, I just want to once again thank Apostle Zeta Flowers and her and All Nations Christian Fellowship for that wonderful prayer conference, Push Prayer Conference, part two on this past Monday. It was truly a beautiful experience. So we do believe that prayer changes things here, and we believe that God is able. So at this time,
yes,
we want you please give your undivided attention to Apostle Zeta Flowers as she leads us in prayer. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank the Lord this morning for all that he is and all that he does. It's just been a blessing hearing the beautiful praise songs and music coming forth for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Father God, we just come to you. We come to you this morning looking to you, Lord, because there is no other to look to for the things that we need, hallelujah, and the things that we desire for you to do for us, your children. So, Father God, we come to you this morning asking for your forgiveness in our hearts, Lord, all over the world. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you forgive us. Hallelujah. We know that when we came to you, those of us that came to you in the pardoning of our sins, we know, Lord, that you forgave us. But for anything else that might be in our hearts, hallelujah, that might be yet there, praise God. Hallelujah. Bitterness, strife, all these kinds of things. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever it is that might be displeasing to you on this day, we ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And Father God, we just lift up all the world situations to you this morning. The world crises, the diseases, hallelujah, that are yet prevalent. But we want to thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You, Lord,
thank
for
you,
setting those hostages free. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. In Haiti. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're praying yet for others, Lord, that are being held for ransoms and all kinds of reasons. We ask, Lord, that you would free them as well in the name of Jesus. We lift up the persecuted church this morning and your persecuted leaders and the members of some of these churches, Lord, hallelujah, in other countries where different ones are coming against them, murdering, all kinds of things, disrupting, burning their churches. In Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, in a powerful, supernatural way. In the name of Jesus, we pray that miracles will be wrought in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That your gospel will continue to go out all over this land in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, because we know that you died, hallelujah, for every creed. Hallelujah, every nationality, every person. Hallelujah. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would continue to build up leaders all over the world. We pray for their safety in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are still yet hidden, hallelujah, because they can't be free to let it be known that they're serving you. We pray your hand of protection upon them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray that they remain hidden from the enemy. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray that you would stop the power over the enemy. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, Satan, we come against you in these situations right now.
Yes,
we
Lord.
We bind
yes,
you
Lord.
In the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, and we release
yes,
love,
yes.
hope, hallelujah,
yes, yes.
oh God, into your people. In Jesus' name, that they will still continue to know that there is yet hope in you, Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
No matter
please,
what.
Sir.
Oh,
yes,
we,
no
we
matter
just
what.
Look to you for it, God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for those, hallelujah, that are yet shut in the prisons and the jails and the juvenile halls. We pray that you will have mercy. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you would continue, hallelujah, to send your leaders in these places, that these people will be touched, hallelujah, that they will know you, hallelujah, that their lives will change, hallelujah. They will be transformed in the name of Jesus, in the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
Hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah. Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. And then we pray, Lord, for those that need to be released, hallelujah, to those that are ready, hallelujah, those that you have already prepared, oh, God, hallelujah, that they may be useful, hallelujah, in this world, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, that they will stand, that they will lift you up, hallelujah, they will praise your name, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are in the hospitals, nursing homes, and all of these places, Lord, where the sick people are. We ask, Lord, that you would go to them. Oh, God, go to their bedsides. Raise them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let them know, Lord,
yeah,
hallelujah, that no matter what, hallelujah, you are a healer. You are a deliverer. Oh, God, hallelujah. You will cause a breakthrough in Jesus' name, in the
yes,
name of
will.
Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you, Master.
Oh, God, we lift up those that are suffering from abuse all over the land.
Yes,
in the
yes,
name of
Lord.
Jesus, children, women,
yes,
men,
yes,
hallelujah, those
yes,
that are subject to abuse. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will change this in Jesus' name, that we will see a great
yes,
change, hallelujah, a mighty change across the nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray for your hand of protection upon them. We pray, Lord, that you will keep them safe, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just praise you for it, in Jesus' name,
yeah,
hallelujah. We pray that if there are any sick among us this morning, hallelujah, that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would deliver.
Touch, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Oh, do
in
it,
a
God,
mighty way.
Do it, Lord. In the name
yes,
of Jesus, in the,
right
in
now,
the midst of us, God.
Yes,
move in
Lord,
a mighty way. In Jesus' name. We lift up ourselves to you. In the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
We lift up our churches. We lift up our ministries. We lift up
yes,
Spirit Alive broadcast.
Thank you,
ministries,
Lord.
We lift it up to you, God. In the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, Master.
Hallelujah. Because only you can keep us going. Only you,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you
yes,
for
Lord,
leading and guiding us, for teaching
yes,
us, hallelujah, for keeping us. We thank you for
yes,
it in Jesus'
yes,
holy and righteous
Lord,
name. Oh,
yes,
God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We look to
thank
you, Lord,
you,
for housing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We look to you for the unemployment situation.
Yes,
those that
Lord,
want to work, those that desire to work. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them with jobs. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
In the name
we lift
of Jesus.
Up the family unit everywhere.
Yes,
in the name of
yes,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it was you, Lord, hallelujah, that made families. Hallelujah. It was your desire, Lord. Hallelujah. For man and woman and children. Hallelujah. To come up knowing you, God. We ask, Lord, that you would move in the family unit, that you would straighten things out there. Hallelujah. Oh, that you would build up the men to be stable, hallelujah, unmovable, hallelujah, men for God,
yes,
hallelujah,
yes,
so that they
Lord,
can help their families be all that
yes,
they need
Lord,
to be. In the name
touch
of Jesus.
Jesus,
in Jesus' name, we bless. We ask that you would bless the wives, hallelujah,
yes,
all
Lord,
over the place.
Keep
bless
them,
the
God,
children, in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord.
Build up strong yes, family units, God, all over. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Oh, we come against the enemy on every side. In the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord,
we come against this murdering
yes,
spirit.
Do, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, God, hallelujah. And we ask, Lord, that you would instill love, hallelujah, in your people. Praise God, hallelujah. And we pray, Lord, that you would come against this hatred all over the world. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In our homes, outside of our homes, all across
yes,
the nation. We come against that spirit of hatred in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you would release love all over.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In
yes,
Jesus' name. And we thank
yes,
you. We praise you this morning for what you are already doing And we're praising you for what you're yet going to do, because we do know that prayer changes things. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, and we praise you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I owe this to you.
Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning message. So if you have not already retrieved your Bible, please retrieve your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And we're not going to get real deep off into it. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verse 11. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. If you are listening via your computers or telephone, you may go to BibleGateway.com, type in Matthew 2:11, and it will bring up the scripture for you. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. And the word of God reads as follows. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Yes.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne, just praising you for yet another opportunity to share what you would want your people to know about you. Lord, I pray that you would completely empty me of self and step into my body of clay, Lord God, and speak by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you would use this message to truly equip and empower your saints. And Lord, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that they will hear the good news today that will cause them to come and make you their Lord and their Savior. And it is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah, saints, and glory to God. Christmas time is actually here again. And I'm not just talking about for Walmart, JCPenney's, Macy's or Amazon. Yes, Christmas time is here. And I truly love this wonderful season. Now, of course, you know here at Spirit Alive, we really do try to celebrate Jesus in our hearts every day of our lives all year long. But Christmas time naturally tends to direct our thinking towards giving. You see, God is a giver. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans 5:8 tells us that God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So not yes. only is God a giver, he is the greatest giver. So when we yes. give, we are being like him. And I've really found it to be true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because I don't know about you, but as for me, I can't wait to give the gifts away that I get. I mean, I just get all excited. I get happy. Because when I get something for someone, all I want to do is see the look on their face, the joy on their face when they open it up. Or I love just, you know, blessing people, you know, because it is such a joy to see their faces, you know, when they receive a blessing that they weren't expecting. And not just for me, that's when I see it, God using anybody to do that. But I also think it's one of the biggest reasons I love the story of the Magi so much. Saints, I just love the picture that the story of the Magi can paint in my imagination. You know, I see the special star shining bright, a stable illuminated by that star, a young woman kneeling by the manger, a new mother's love just radiating from her face, a man standing beside her, gentle and strong, a baby lying in the manger, a few pieces of straw grasped in his tiny little fist. A sheep here, a sheep, the cow there. And then in the midst of all of that, Three exotic gentlemen bowing down before the baby, their faces filled with awe, their hands outstretched with gifts too beautiful and too rich for a stable. Okay, now, saints, I do have to admit right here that my imagination is affected as much by the modern-day nativity scenes and Christmas pageants as Matthew's gospel account. Okay. And we need to know that the Magi didn't arrive on Christmas Day like the shepherds did. They arrived several days or weeks or months later. They didn't find Jesus in the stable where he was born. They found him in a house that presumably became home to Mary and Joseph after the stable and before the flight to Egypt. And we don't know if there were three Magi. There were at least two. Maybe there were six. Three gifts, yes. Three Magi, maybe. But I still love the story. And at least some of it matches Matthew's account. Oh, there was a star. And there were exotic gentlemen bowing down before Jesus all over their faces with magnificent gifts in their hands. And let me tell you something else. There was a time when the Magi lived far away from Jesus, so far that they knew absolutely nothing about him. Now, they had heard of the God of Abraham, but they had no particular relationship with him. They didn't live in Judea. They lived in Persia or Arabia, maybe. They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. In other words, the Magi didn't grow up in the church. They never prayed with their parents before bedtime, at least not to God, not to this God. They never went to a Sunday school. They never memorized any Bible verses. Chances are they didn't know Genesis from Job. But what an amazing thing to be gifted with a special star to capture their attention and to guide them. They followed the star and it changed everything. The day came when these men found themselves in an intimate relationship with Jesus. They bowed before him and offered them their very best. They knew he was king. They honored him as their king. They went home another way. That is to say, they traveled a different route on the map. I think it's safe to say that they traveled a different route in their lives, too, because an intimate encounter with Jesus has a way of doing that to people. So although it's not likely that the wise men in the gospel arrived at the same time as the shepherds did to find Jesus in the manger, we do know that the wise men worshiped Jesus together and gave him gifts. First, the Bible says, they opened their treasures and presented him with gold. Kursos is often seen as a symbolic for a gift worthy of a king. A precious metal prized for its beauty and value. It is an appropriate gift for royalty. Seneca tells us that in Parthia, it was the custom. No one could ever approach the king without a gift. So gold at the time of birth of Christ was and is now a precious metal, a gift for the king of men. Jesus is the God-man whom can reign and rule over men's hearts. In the heart of Christians, there is submission to Jesus, the divine person of whom the gift of gold can be symbolic of us giving our best to him. Second, they presented him with the treasure of incense or frankincense, a liburnum, often referred to in Scripture as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. It is a fragrance which is offered in direct adoration to the Lord. This incense reflected his deity and was sprinkled on many of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. You see, frankincense is a gift for a priest. And the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which means a bridge builder. So it is not out of line to see the gift of frankincense being offered to the one whom is our high priest, who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. You see, the Christ that was born in Bethlehem was, is, and always will be the bridge builder over the gulf of sin that once separated us from God. And third, they presented him with the treasure of myrrh. And myrrh comes from the camphor tree. It's an expensive spice used for making perfume, incense, medicine for anointing and embalming the dead. So during biblical times, myrrh was an important trade item. Myrrh is an aromatic fragrant which radiates spontaneously and is highly favored for the preserving of corpse. We know that Nicodemus mixed myrrh and aloes together, 75 pounds of it. He and Joseph of Arimathea took the spices, put it on Jesus' body, and wrapped it in linen strips in according with Jewish burial customs. And it is interesting to read in Exodus that myrrh is the first mentioned principal ingredient in the holy anointing oil. You see, oil is frequently mentioned in the scriptures as an emblem of sanctification, and anointing with it means of designating objects as well as persons to the service of God. In Exodus 30:23, we read that oil was prescribed by God's authority. And because Jesus' birth was ordained by God, it has been well said Christ was born to die, to give his life in obedience for the sins of the world. So judging by the list of gifts, I believe these wise men had a pretty good insight into who Jesus was. They gave him gold because they recognized it was a proper gift for a king. They gave him frankincense because that is what a high priest used when he went into the temple to represent the people before God. And they gave him myrrh because they recognized that this king would die for the world, thus making Jesus the gift that keeps right on giving. Which brings us to our question of the day and the reason for our text. What do you give back to the eternal gift that keeps on giving? I mean, I know we've got people mashing and dashing to stores, you know, trying to buy gifts, but what do you give back to the eternal gift that keeps on giving? What can we give to the one who already has it all? What could we possibly give to the one who already owns it all? What can we possibly give to Jesus that he really needs?
Glory.
I believe that perhaps the better question would be, what is there that Jesus wants from me? Mm-hmm. And the answer is simple. It is you he wants. It is me he wants. It is us that God wants. And when he truly has us, everything else in our lives should fall into place. See, we should give to Jesus the things that none other can give him for us, like our time. The time, days, months, years, life, breath, etc. that God gives us on earth, it's a gift from him to us, and it all belongs to him. Our talents, all our gifts, abilities, and talents come directly from God and should be used for his glory here on the earth. We should make our world, our people, our home, our marriage, our children, our class, our job, our church, and everything that we go around and we can affect more like Jesus. Our talent should be used for good and for God. He's the one who gave us to them. You know, he gave them to us to begin with. So they all belong to him. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Philippians, why not?
Amen.
And then we can give him our treasures. And I'm talking about all of our treasures belong to God. All our life, our breath, our family, our futures, our finances, every day belongs to God. We are stewards, merely stewards of these beautiful things. And we should handle them all for God's glory. We need to know that God's truth and his doctrine is a treasure. We need to know that true Christian fellowship and biblical Christianity is a treasure. We must cherish these things with our heart and with our lives, and we must hand them down to our children. We must allow God's hand to direct the lives of our treasures. Now we're going to take a camel walk through scripture for a moment. I'm going to run a paragraph down to you. But this is what I want you to know and understand. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It is you he wants. It is me he wants. It is us that he wants.
Yes.
Now, as I have said, although some of us are out there bashing and crashing into stores trying to get those presents, you know, those of us that love the Lord, we know that Christmas is all about Jesus. It's his birthday we're celebrating. So have you ever wondered what Jesus would include on his Christmas list if he had one? Mm-hmm. I bet you many of us have never even thought about it, let alone answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're going to get to think about it. You know, while we don't have a specific answer, I'm going to point us to some insight from the prayers that Jesus prayed. Specifically, John 17, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. John 17, 24. Jesus also tells us that his kingdom, which will eventually bring salvation and justice to all, is concerned with the poor and the underprivileged. The Bible tells us none of you should be looking out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. 1 Corinthians 10 and 24. Jesus expects those who he has called and commissioned to represent his kingdom on earth and to share his concern with those in positions of need. Now, how can we better keep the Christ in Christmas than to acknowledge what Jesus desires for us? Now, I'm going to share with you a few things that Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to love him with the same love God has for him. You see, his goal is not only for us to see his glory, but also for us to love him with the same love that the Father has for him. Jesus says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. John 17, 26. See, Jesus' longing, his desire, his goal for us is that we see his glory and for us to be able to love what we see with the same love that the Father has for his Son. Now, saints, this does not mean that we simply imitate the love of the Father for the Son. This means that the Father's very love becomes our love for the Son. This is what the Spirit places in our lives. Love for the Son by the Father through the Spirit. Amen. And another thing I think that would top Jesus' Christmas wish list is our trust. Remember, faith is a voluntary matter. Jesus doesn't have our trust unless we give it to him. Trusting in Christ means that we're not relying upon ourselves, but on him. The most important part of following Jesus is learning how to learn from him. By relying on Christ as our teacher, he guides us into living a new life that is according to his will, according to his truth. Jesus shows us how to live and will even guide us in how to pray. And when we learn what Jesus wants from us, then we will rely on his strength and power, which is activated through the Holy Spirit to do those things. Because mm-hmm. Jesus wants to be first in our lives. Anything or anyone other than Jesus that holds first place in our lives is an idol. This Christmas, Jesus really would like for all of us to just choose him first. Yes, amen. Choose him first ahead of our finances, our interests, our relationships, our schedules, and even our troubles. And this, saints of God, starts by giving over to him our heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what Dr. Luke prescribed in Luke 12 and 34. See, your heart is what you love, value, and care about the most. And one way you can give Jesus your heart this Christmas is by giving it to your heart to him. Or you can help by helping those in need. Hallelujah. Because as Christians, we are commanded to help one another. But we are also called to help those that are less fortunate than we are. Proverbs 21:13 says, if a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. 1 John 3:17 also says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother is in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So a great way to help the poor and disenfranchised during the holiday season is, of course, by volunteering. Now, I know that COVID has put a damper on a lot of things, but you know what? You can still find ways to bless people. You know, you can check on some of the elderly. You can, you know, you can go out and buy little gifts for people and just leave it on their front steps, or you can make sure everybody has people, a few people have a meal. And then Jesus wants us to witness. What better gift can we give to Jesus than to be a powerful witness to his life and mission and bring others into the family of believers? Jesus wants his children to choose to love and trust him. This is the very reason we celebrate Christmas. You can invite someone to Jesus this Christmas by telling them that what Jesus has done for you in your life. We know the scripture that the wise men didn't just give Jesus what they had left over when they visited him on that first Christmas so very long ago. No. Yeah. Instead, they gave him three very significant and valuable gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as you and I bring other people to Jesus, do you know and understand that we are giving Jesus a gift that is far more valuable than the ones that the wise men brought? Hallelujah.
Yes.
What better gift can we offer Christ this Christmas than seeing him in his fullness and accepting all that he has to offer us? Christ is always showing us his glory. But we have to find satisfaction in his glory, and we have to delight in it. This Christmas, we should all be more committed to our rebuilding up our relationship with Jesus. And then we should do all that we can to reflect that same love that he showers on us, and that same greatness that he showers, greatness of grace that he showers on us, we should be showering on others.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to give us some practical gifts. You know, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm going to share with you just a few gifts that we can continually give back to Jesus, not just at Christmas time, but every day. And then I'm going to let us get out of here. Number one, we need to commit to daily prayer Bible reading. You know why? When we read the Bible, we are taking part in a conversation with God. That's truly remarkable that he cares enough about us to give us his very words for us to read and to study and let marinate all down in our spirit. What better gift to give our relational God than just to spend time in conversation with him, learning of him, and just listening to him? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the second thing, the gift that we can continually give to Jesus, is commit to praying daily. Again, when we pray, we are taking part in a conversation with God. While Bible reading is God speaking to us, praying is us speaking to God. And our God desires to hear us speak to him. He wants a real relationship with each of us, and prayer is vital to that relationship. Again, if you were not blessed to listen to the Push Prayer Conference, go back and listen to it. It was awesome. Because we need to make a point of praying to the good Lord every day. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we seek anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. And then I know right now a lot of churches are not open, but I want to, but I'm still going, I still, that doesn't change how I have to preach this word. We need to commit to serving in a local church, in a ministry. Because, see, God has uniquely gifted every single one of his people for a ministry. And he has placed us in specific places for specific things. Because, see, his plan for reaching the whole world for the gospel is the church. The local church is how God accomplishes part of that mission. But what that means is that he does it through people, because remember, the building is not the church. The people that go to the building is the church. Amen. So we need to give our gifts of service to his bride. We need to get in to gather together, because Joel 2:28-30 says this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of blood. And then on down in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Look here, after everything God has done for us, the least we can do is give him our reasonable service. Because 1 Corinthians 12:1-11 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation in the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Yes.
And then, saints of God, we have to commit to give it to our local churches or to the ministries that feed us. Because you have to understand something. The only reason some of us have a seat in a local church is because somebody came before you and said, if you look, you know, when you in your church, look on over there at the motherboard and look over there at the deacon board, and though, because those are the people that have been sitting in that church for 30, 40 years. So it's their tithes and offerings that have got you those nice cushy seats that you're sitting on and that nice stained glass window or that new building or whatever. But we need to give, because when we give, we are giving to do God's work here on earth, you know. But now, I'm going to add this caveat, because we know everything, even in the body of Christ, is not as it should be. But, and I'm not going to start quoting from the book of Malachi, because the Bible doesn't end there. But what I am going to tell you to do is this. I want you to seek God's face on where and how you should give. Because we can give to him what no angel and nobody else can give him. We can simply give him our hearts and our lives in total surrender. And when God truly has our hearts, then, honey, we will gladly give him everything we got, our time, our talents, our treasures. And, honey, we'll do that inside and outside of our local church. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Then we need to commit to sharing our faith with others. Because, like I said, it's God's mission to save people from their sins and to make them brand new. And I, as I said that, as I've already said, he does that through us. Those of us that believe him, those of us that love him and obey him. You know, and every time somebody comes to the Lord, I've heard it said here so often, there's a party up in heaven. Ha!
Yes.
When people surrender themselves, when they offer themselves up at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, made it a point to emphasize the fact that the gospel must be preached in order for people to live it and believe it. So what shall we do? We, here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, are committed to sharing the Word of God. We are committed to sharing what God has done in our lives. We are committed to testifying to the goodness of the Lord. And we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. We not, might not stand on a stage. Not all of us is going to be standing in big arenas or in a pulpit. But let me tell you something. God expects all of us to tell our story so he can get the glory. Because in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, and Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. Come on, saints of God. What we need to do to give Jesus for Christmas is we need to take a faith-filled risk for his kingdom. You know good and well God is able to do way more than we can think of him, ask him, or imagine him doing. So why not do what he's calling you to do? Now, you may look at it as a risk from your perspective, but for the one who has prepared all good things for you to do before you were even born, let me tell you something. It's already a done deal. All you have to do is trust him and take a step out on faith. If it's his will, You're about to be on the most wonderful, adventurous ride of your life. Because Ephesians 2, 10 through 13 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers for the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then remember that in chapter 3, verse 20 of this same book, we are told that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And the last thing that we all need to continually give Jesus is we can continually commit our children to him. You know, we see many times in the Bible where families committed their children to God. They lifted their children up to God. They dedicated their children to God. Parents today don't do that. We don't hear of them doing that anymore. You know, they're so busy trying to name them something clever like Porsche or Mercedes or something that they can't afford. They're not lifting their children up to God. But saints of God, I came to tell you. Beloved of God, I came to tell you. The gifts that I'm talking about for you that you need, we can give Jesus today. Here's the icing on the cake. There is no wrapping paper necessary. Ha! It doesn't matter how pretty your prayers are or how systematic your Bible reading is. What does matter is that you make a commitment to God and then you build on these gifts and you give them to him every day and you turn those gifts into habits. And when we do that, we're giving God the gifts that he desires. So what are you waiting for? Will you join me in giving these gifts to God this Christmas and every day? Will you join me and the Magi of old in truly giving God gifts worthy of who he is and all he has already given to the world? Because we too have been given a holy star to follow, and it is Jesus, the Logos, God's holy word, one of the greatest gifts you or I or anyone can give Jesus this season is the gift of ourselves. Jesus wants a relationship Amen. With you, of course.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, but you know, Jesus wants other people too.
Yes.
But we're not in a position to give God Jesus what we don't have. But we have the power to witness. We have the power to worship. We have the power to exhort and challenge others to give themselves to Jesus. But before we can do that, we have to first really give Jesus ourselves. We have to give him our time, our talent, our money. We have to give of ourselves by serving others instead of ourselves. And then we have to give of ourselves by living a life that is holy and pleasing to God. We have to spend time in his presence, listening to him. And finally, we can give ourselves to Christ by teaching others about him. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the greatest gift that any of us can give Jesus this year or any time is total surrender. Oh, hallelujah. When God hears one of his children say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my talents. I give you my abilities. I give you my dreams. I give you my future. I give you my weaknesses. I offer myself to you, Father God. Here I am. This is my gift to you. Oh, that's music to God's ears. And it brings a smile to his heart. See, you might feel like the little drummer boy. like you don't have anything worthy to give Jesus. But I'm here to tell you today, all Jesus has ever wanted was your love. All Jesus has ever wanted was your heart. All Jesus has ever wanted was a relationship with you. So give him your heart. Give him your life. Give him your all in all. Give him your everything. Surrender it all. Because guess what? It all belongs to him anyway. Hallelujah. So right now, if you are ready to step into that position of giving your life to Christ, I want you to follow the directions of Minister Gladys Manning McGee. And then if you are a first-time visitor or you would just like to have a prayer request, if you press 1 on your keypad, I will bring you in. And we will allow you to get your praise on. Hallelujah. So, Minister Gladys, hallelujah. Come forth, dear.
Thanking God for yet another day. It was a beautiful message. I'd just like to pray with you ones that don't know Christ, would like to get to know Christ. Prayer is very simple. It's very easy, really simple to get to know Christ, to have him come into your life and sup with you. It's a matter of believing, knowing that Christ died on the cross for our sins. They put him in a tomb and he rose on the third day, And if you believe that in your heart, and knowing that God died for our sins so that we may live, then you're saved. It's just that simple. And accepting him in your heart as Jesus, as Lord, all things are added to him. I just thank God. Can pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I have fallen short of thy word, thy glory. I'm asking you to save me. Save my soul, Lord. I want to live with you. I want you to live through me. I want light to be a beacon for my life, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, come in and take full control of my mind, my heart, Lord, my desires. And lift me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And if you pray that prayer, you believe that God died on the cross, rose on the third day, and is still omnipresent. It's just
hallelujah.
Now, right now,
hallelujah.
Heaven is rejoicing. There's a party going on. And you have accepted Christ as your Lord. Now you can live. Life goes. You live in this life. Now you can live again. In the name
hallelujah.
Of Jesus. And I thank God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if there's anyone here that would like to have a word, that you are a first-time visitor or you would just like to let us know that you were here, if you kindly press your 1 on your keypad, that will let me know. Hallelujah. And as I scroll, if there is nothing else, I will ask Mother Mitchell to please come and read us our benediction so that I can dismiss you. Amen.
Amen. I'd just like to say wonderful, wonderful message. I absolutely love this.
Amen.
I tell my daughter that all the time. I haven't heard a bad message.
Thank you,
but I just, they get better and better and better. And I don't mean
that
because she's my daughter.
I mean
because the word of God is so true. And she just puts it out there for us just as it should be. Simple and to the point. And I love that.
Amen.
I love God,
yes.
But
Amen.
I love to hear
Me
her
too.
Preach his word, too. Amen. Just
Amen.
There. I had to get that in there. I'll read,
Amen.
Read the benediction, Pastor, like Bishop, like you asked. Now
Thank
unto
you.
Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. We just want to, on behalf of myself, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Minister Gladys Manny McGee, we just like to say we were so glad that you're here, and we pray that you were truly blessed. And if we never see you again in the studio or we now hear from you, just know that we love you. God bless you. Happy holidays to you. And we just pray that fervently pray from our house to yours that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do and that you truly be you transformed. So we just want to say, happy holidays from all of us here. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you. So do we. God bless you.
Amen.
A beautiful, beautiful job, everyone.
Yes.
Love you. Absolutely beautiful, everybody.
Supernatural.
Beautiful. Thank you. God bless you all.
Yeah.